الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
Ikhwan, the topic, as you are acquainted, Ikhwan, and as you are aware, is a continuation of that which we've been mentioning concerning Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. As far as our study of the life of Imam Ahmad, Ikhwan, then Sahib Sunnah, the Salafi, the one who Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed to understand the tariq of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een ridwan Allah alayhim, he benefits, Ikhwan, fawa'id azima and adida. He benefits a number of fawa'id and a number of benefits from studying the life of the likes of these a'imma, these great imams. From the benefits and from the things that he takes, Ikhwan, as benefit, is that he has tashji'. It encourages him in terms of his own self. When he analyzes that which Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed these a'imma with, and that which they went through from trials and fitan and mihan, and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the manner in which Allah raised their station, and on the basis of what thing? The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal raised them by way of ilm, that has in it an encouragement for the talib ilm to increase in his talab. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has raised them by way of amal, action, it has in it an encouragement for the talib ilm to act upon the ilm that he possesses and that he learns. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them by being patient during the trials and the fitan, the person, the talib, يعني, he increases salabatan upon the sunnah and upon the haqq. He remains firm and steadfast upon the haqq, knowing and observing and studying that historically, those who remain firm upon it, fazu. Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them, made them successful. And that fawz and that success that they achieved was on the basis of nothing but fulfilling that which Allah Azza wa Jalla had laid down in the book, that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left with the companions from the sunnah and the understanding of the companions of both of those two things. And that then, Ikhwan, is from the benefits that we take from studying the life of the likes of Al-Imam Ahmad. Then, Ikhwan, from the things that we benefit is the great station of the Aqeedah Salafiyya As-Sahiha. This Aqeedah Salafiyya that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with. And how, Ikhwan, from the people, there were those who were tried and went through affliction in the way of establishing this Aqeedah. And you all know, Ikhwan, that from the study of the life of Imam Ahmad, studying his life would be incomplete if one did not study the mihna of Imam Ahmad, the trial that Imam Ahmad went through, on the basis of it, the establishment of the Aqeedah, on the basis of the establishment of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Tawheed. That trial, Ikhwan, again, the Sunni, he benefits from it. And Ikhwan, from the A'imma, other than Imam Ahmad, though Imam Ahmad was put to trial, and he was punished, and he was whipped, and he went through what he went through during that, there were others, Ikhwan, who were killed in its way. From them, the likes of Al-Imam Al-Bu'ayti, the student of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, who was taken during the trial and during that fitna. He was taken in chains and had collars placed around his neck, a collar placed around his neck and around his wrists. And then between them, a large weight that extended between the collar by way of a chain, between the collar around his neck and the collar that was between his or upon his two wrists. And that he said that verily, we go through the likes of this trial and this fitna, that generations to come will know that that which they believe in from the Aqidah Sahiha, people died in its way. And he passed away, rahimahullah ta'ala, while he was still incarcerated on the basis of this trial and this fitna. And so, it is something, ikhwan, that we benefit from. And that we understand, ikhwan, the ni'mah that we're upon. Because many fell during the trial and the fitna that occurred during the time of Imam Ahmad. As far as the account itself, then it occurs in a number of places. Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentions it in Siyar, Ibn Abi Ya'la, he mentions it in Tabaqat al-Hanabila, al-Imam Hanbal, he mentions, or he's written a book around the affair, around the topic. And so it is something that has been discussed. Ibn al-Jawzi likewise, he discusses it. And thus it is something that has been discussed by the A'imma and documented. And so our analysis of it, of the account of the affair, the bulk of it we're going to take, ikhwan, from Siyar Allama al-Nubala of al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam al-Dhahabi, when he discusses this era and this stage in the life of Imam Ahmad, he discusses the fact that the people were ummatan wahida. The asl and the origin were that the people were one ummah. He said, وَدِينُهُمْ قَائِدٌ أَوْ قَائِمًا فِي خِلَافَةِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Their deen was established throughout the life of Abu Bakr and Umar, and then they were martyred. He said, and then the bab of fitna, that is, the bab that prevented fitna, was opened. And that was, yani, the killing and the death of Umar. وانكسر الباب, the bab was broken. He said, وَقَامَ رُؤُوسَ الشَّرِّ عَلَى الشَّهِيدُ عُثْمَانَ حَتَّى ذَبَحَ صَبْرًا. And so the leaders of evil and shar stood against the likes of Uthman, a reference here to the Khawarij, of course, and they killed Uthman. And so the statements and the unity of the ummah, it split. And then he mentions that which occurred from the fitna of Waqat al-Jamal, Waqat al-Siffin, and the various trials that went, that occurred among the Sahaba, ridwanallahi alayhim. He said, فَظَهَرَتِ الْخَوَارِجِ. And so the Khawarij, they became apparent. He said, وَكَفَّرَتْ سَادَةَ الصَّحَابَةَ ثُمَّ ظَهَرَتِ الرَّوَافِدْ وَالنَّوَاصِبِ. And they made takfir of the majority of the Sahaba, and then the Rawafid, yani the Rafidah, they appeared, and the Nawasib, those who are on the other end of the spectrum, those who said, and those who nasab, Al-Ada, or those who established and erected enmity to the household of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Rawafid, but those who worshipped them, the Alawiya, who held that Ali radiallahu anhu was actually Allah in the flesh, and on the other end of the spectrum, the Nasiba, the Nawasib, those who made takfir of the household of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he mentioned that the Qadariya, they appeared, and then the Mu'tazila, they appeared in Basra, and the Jahmiya wal Mujassima bi Khurasan. Fi athna'i asr at-tabi'in ma'a dhuhur as-sunnati wa ahliha ila ba'd al-mi'atayn. He said that that occurred towards the end of the era, or during the era of the Tabi'in, even though the Sunnah was apparent, and its people, up until after the mi'atayn, after the 200s. He said, وَظَهَرَ الْمَأْمُونَ الْخَلِيفَةَ. And then al-Ma'mun, the Khalifa al-Ma'mun, was, became apparent. That is, that he was made the Khalifa. It should be known, ikhwan, that prior to the Khalifa al-Ma'mun, we had the well-known Khalifa, Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, ikhwan, it was well known that he, from among the Khulafa, was strong against the people of innovation and bid'ah. To the extent, ikhwan, that he mentioned concerning Bishr al-Mirrisi, that verily, if he makes himself apparent during my time, I will kill him. Yani, Bishr al-Mirrisi, who entered into and يعني supported and spread the bid'ah of the Jahmiyyah as it relates to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, negation of the sifat. And so he said, if he makes himself apparent during my time, yani, while I'm the Khalifa, then I'll kill him. And that continued, Ikhwan, until after the death of Harun al-Rashid, his son, Al-Amin, was given and took over from the Khilafah of his father. And his son had a similar stance. It was well known that bid'ah and innovation, they were staunch against it and prevented it from seeping into the ummah. Likewise, at the same time, we had certain prominent individuals from among the people of knowledge who prevented the appearance of bid'ah. The likes of Yazid bin Harun, who was from the ulama of the people of Sunnah, and who, on the basis of his presence, the people of innovation were afraid to make themselves apparent. And so during this period, Imam Ahmad was young. Imam Ahmad was a shab. And it was not until after the death of Al-Amin, the son of Harun al-Rashid, that this affair, yani the maqala and the statements of the people of Jahmiyyah became apparent, and they had something from clout and strength. And that is because Al-Amin, after his death, Al-Ma'mun, who took over, he was from those who, during the life of Al-Amin, he lent an ear to the Jahmiyyah, was those who, from those who used to listen to their statement, and felt that that was that had in it something from justice, to at least listen to them. And then, after the death of Al-Amin and he became the Khalifa, they worked hard upon overpowering him and bringing them on board and on side. And that is what occurred with Al-Ma'mun. To the extent that Al-Ma'mun, he began to try and test others to see whether or not they were in accordance with the belief of the Jahmiyyah. And so Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, وَلَمْ تَكُنِ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ يَظْهَرُونَ فِي دَوْلَةِ الْمَهْدِي وَالرَّشِيدِ وَالْأَمِينِ فَلَمَّا وَلِيَ الْمَأْمُونِ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَظْهَرَ الْمَقَالَةِ. He said that indeed the Jahmiyyah, they were not able to make their statement apparent, yani the statement of theirs, and this affair of the negation of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, negating the attributes from Allah subhanahu. And they claim that the names of Allah were just names, titles that have no realities behind them, just titles of Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as those titles, as is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, the names of Allah Azza wa Jal are names that have attributes with them. Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Rahman, and he possesses Sifatul Rahma. Salamatullah. Allah is Al-Aziz, he possesses Sifatul Izzah. And so on. So the names of Allah are names that have with them attributes. They are realities. And so the statement of the Jahmiyyah was taken on by Al-Ma'mun, and he supported it and became from them. That he supported their qawl, supported their statement, and became from them. And that is, Ikhwan, of course, as occurs oftentimes, Ikhwan, when the people of bid'ah, they spread their innovation, they usually spread it from a premise of the fact that this is more intellectually correct. And those who are more intellectually astute, then this is how they should be thinking. And that aqidah and that deen of the people of sunnah, then it is archaic. It is ancient, it is old-fashioned. And it is only believed in by individuals who haven't developed intellectually. And so, that type of argument was what was presented to the Khalifa Al-Ma'mun, and he took on board the aqidah of the Jahmiyyah. And so, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, during the time of Al-Rashid, he mentioned that if I come across him while I am alive, then I will kill him. Then after the death of Al-Rashid, after the death of Al-Ma'mun, of Al-Amin, we had Al-Ma'mun, who he began to look into the statements of the Jahmiyyah and then ultimately became from them. Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, قُلْتُ ثُمَّ إِنَّ الْمَأْمُونَ نَظَرَ فِي الْكَلَامِ وَنَاظَرَ وَبَقِيَ مُتَوَقِّفًا فِي الدُّعَاءِ إِلَى بِدْعَتِهِ. He said that then after the death of al-Rashid, Harun al-Rashid, and al-Ma'mun, and al-Amin, al-Ma'mun came along. And he began to look into their statements. And he began to debate. وَبَقِيَ مُتَوَقِّفًا. And then he stayed for a period being mutawakif, yani he wasn't here or there. Being called to their bid'ah. That is, he continued to be called to their bid'ah, and ultimately he responded to them. And as Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, ثُمَّ قَوِيَ عَزْمَ وَامْتَحَنَ النَّاسِ. He said, and then his azam and his resolve became firm and strong. And he began to test and try the people. That is, not only was it that he entered into their bid'ah and agreed with them, but his resolve became strong and he decided, we're going to test the people. That we're not going to allow individuals to remain upon a bid'ah and a belief other than this belief. But it was on the basis of the wujud and the presence of the likes of Harun, of Al-Yazid bin Harun, that this bid'ah was not able to become manifest. That even during the time of Al-Ma'mun, that Al-Ma'mun respected Yazid bin Harun as an alim and as a imam from the a'imma of Ahlul Sunnah, to the extent that even though he believed in the belief of the Jahmiyyah, he didn't make it apparent because of the presence of Yazid bin Harun. Because of the haybah and the awe that he had for him. And that is something, ikhwan, that we see from time to time. Even in our time. We see that on the basis of the presence of certain ulama, of certain ashab sunnah, yani defenders and vanguards of the aqeedah salafiyah, you'll find that certain bid'ah, ikhwan, it is repressed. And it's unable to make itself apparent because of the strength of Ahlul Sunnah. And it may be that that strength manifests at the hand of one man. And then Ahlul Sunnah, ikhwan, follow that one imam. Allah Azza wa Jal makes that imam an ummah that the people follow. And so during the time of Yazid ibn Harun, al-Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentioned, حدثني Ibn Aktham, or after his isnad, going back to Ibn Aktham, he said, قال لنا المأمون لولا مكان يزيد بن هارون لأظهرت أن القرآن مخلوق. He said, if it were not for the station of Yazid ibn Harun, then I would have made the belief that the Quran is created apparent. And so al-Ma'mun, he did not make the belief and this aqeedah apparent until after the death of this great Imam Yazid ibn Harun. Then after the death of Yazid ibn Harun, the affair was made easy for him. The one that he used to fear and have awe for is gone. And so he began to call and made it a public and a state call that the Quran is makhluq. And that the a'imma of Ahlul Sunnah, the people of knowledge, those who call to other than this, first and foremost, they are going to be tested and tried. What is it that you believe in? How do you, or what do you hold concerning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As a preliminary understanding, ikhwan, of the issue and of the affair, of course the Jahmiyyah, ikhwan, they negated the sifat. They negated the sifat on the basis of the fact that they believed that affirming the sifat would necessitate that one is making tashbih. That is, one is likening Allah to his creation. If we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face, has hands, has eyes, that he yadhak, that he laughs, that Allah azza wa jal descends, that he ascends, all of these characteristics are characteristics of creation, they say. Affirming them would necessitate likening Allah Azza wa Jalla to His creation. Therefore, we do not affirm them, we negate. Allah Azza wa Jalla, even though He mentioned those things in the Quran, and even though the Messenger mentioned that about Allah Azza wa Jalla, they said, if we affirm them, then it would necessitate tashbih. As far as the belief of Ahlul Sunnah is concerned, then Ahlul Sunnah believe, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ قَائِدَ سَهْلًا لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That there is nothing like unto Allah, and He is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And so they negate that anything is like Allah, and they affirm, as occurs in the ayah, they affirm that Allah is all-seeing, all-hearing. قَائِدَ سَهْلًا. And as far as those individuals that make that claim, that if we say that Allah has a hand, that Allah Azza wa Jal has a qadam, that Allah has eyes, that Allah has a face, then all of these things necessitate tashbih, resemblance of Allah to His creation. We cannot do so, and so we must negate. Then in actuality, ikhwankum salam, they have fallen into that which they claim they're running from. Kayfa dhalik? How? How is it that they've fallen into it? They claim, if we affirm that Allah has these things, if we affirm these attributes to Allah Azza wa Jal, we'll be likening Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation, so we cannot do so. We must negate from Allah Azza wa Jal. And when they said so, and when they do so, they actually fallen into that which they claim to be running from. How? Huh? How?
They're saying they're the same. If you compare them, then if you say Allah has a hand, the human beings have a hand, so they're comparing them and they make tashbih.
Alright, we'll stick up in what you said there. Ahsant. Aywa?
The fear of making tashbih arose from the fact that they make tashbih in the beginning.
Mumtaz. Yani, which is tafsil to the statement of Akhuna. That the fact that they have made, or the fact that they claim that we cannot affirm those attributes, if we affirm them, then we'll be likening Allah to His creation. Yani, this statement of theirs, face, a'udhu billah. Hand, a'udhu billah. Foot, a'udhu billah. Eye, a'udhu billah. Kef. That is the only thing that we know that has face, hand, eye, is creation. Therefore, it is a must that we negate. This statement of theirs is based upon them first likening Allah to His creation in their heads. When they said, face, a'udhu billah, what is it that they've done? They have conjured up an image of Allah having a face in their heads. So they likened Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation in their minds. And it is that caused them to make ta'til. It is that caused them to negate. So when they said first and foremost that we cannot affirm a face, a hand, eyes, yani these things are only known among the creation. So they, in and of themselves, among themselves, they first made tashbih themselves, which led them to make the ta'til, led them to negate. Allah. So this statement of theirs, that verily, we must negate the sifat, we must negate the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, because affirming them necessitates likening Allah to His creation. They in actuality have fallen into that which they claim to be fleeing from. And so the belief of Ahlul Sunnah is that a simple principle, ikhwan, a simple qa'ida, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, yani based upon the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned that there is none like unto Allah, and He is As-Sami' Al-Basir. Allah Azza wa Jal establishes first and foremost that there is none like unto Him. This statement, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, it is sufficient in removing the affair, or in rebutting the affair of tashbih. That it is not possible then for Ahlul Sunnah to liken Allah to His creation when they know there is nothing like unto Allah. There is nothing like unto Allah. In order for one to liken Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation, or to liken something to something else, there must be some resemblance of it. Or one must have seen something like it.
And none of that is possible for any individual from among creation to affirm. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal has affirmed in His Kitab, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Allah Azza wa Jal. And since none has seen Allah, how possibly may one resemble Allah to His creation? And just the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal affirms for Himself some of the things that are affirmed within His creation, that does not necessitate tashbih. There is, human beings have feet. Koala bears have feet. Are the feet the same? Not the same. Koala bears have feet. Mountains have feet. Hey, foot of the mountain. Are they the same? Not the same. If that is the case as it relates to the creation, then how possibly, ikhwan, is one going to have an issue as it relates to al-azim, al-kabir, al-ali, al-jabbar? How possibly may it be said that anything is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But ikhwan, qa'ida, and a qa'ida, principle that is sahla, simple. As far as ha'ula, as far as these individuals, then they were unable to understand the verse. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal affirms, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So He is al-sami', the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And therefore, on the basis of the first part of the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, we understand then that His sama' is لَيْسَ كَسَمْعِنَا. His hearing is not like our hearing. His basar, لَيْسَ كَبَصَرِنَا. His seeing is not like our seeing. We affirm it as He affirms it for Himself, but we attest to the fact that none is like Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, His hearing, His seeing, His knowledge, His life is not like anything within His creation, ikhwan. And the Jahmiyyah then, as an extension to this belief of theirs, one of the issues that arose is that which is related to the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, the speech of Allah. And does Allah Azza wa Jal speak? Do we affirm speech to Allah subhanahu? Do we affirm to Him kalam? And the Quran, how do we view it? Do we view it as the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal? Or is it other than His true speech? Ahlul Sunnah, of course, ikhwan, as is the case with every single one of the attributes of Allah, they affirm the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, He speaks. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed His Lord spoke to Him. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to Musa تَكْلِيمًا, directly. Yani with speech. Verily it is affirmed that Allah Yawm al-Qiyamah will speak with a harf and a sawt that every individual will hear. That He will speak with words that will be heard. Similarly, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed, لَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. That there is not one of you except that His Lord shall speak to him directly. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. With there not being any translator between him and his Lord. فَيَنْظُرْ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ وَيَنْظُرْ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ وَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ وَيَنْظُرْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. So the Messenger said that he looked to his right, he will not see except that which he has put forward. Yani his righteous actions. He will look to his left and not see except that which he has put forward, his evil actions. And he will look before him and not see except the fire, the nar. So fear the fire even if it is with half a date. And so it is affirmed then by numerous evidences, numerous adillah, that Allah Azza wa Jal has kalam and that He speaks. And that His speech, ikhwan, with Ahlul Sunnah is غير مخلوق. It is not created. How possibly can it be created? How can it be created when it is an attribute from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal? Any of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, ikhwan? كيف? When Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that He has sama' And that is he has hearing. Who would be bold enough to dare claim that the hearing of Allah Azza wa Jal is created? Something from Allah is created? Who would be bold enough to claim that his seeing is created? Wal-iyadu billah. And his speech likewise. Allah Azza wa Jal, from his sifat, is that he speaks. Yatakallam. Mata sha. Kayfa sha. Wa yatakallamu bima sha. That he speaks when he wills, how he wills, and with that which he wills. And so it is an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. How possibly could it be said that it is created? And as was mentioned by some of the A'imma of Ahlul Sunnah, from them Al-Bu'ayti that we mentioned, that Allah Azza wa Jal created his creation with kun. With the kalima, with the word kun. And on the basis of kun, the creation came into existence. So how then would it be said that that which is created brought about the creation? There is no doubt then that Allah Azza wa Jal, his speech, and the belief of Ahlul Sunnah is that the kalam of Allah and the Quran is the speech of Allah غير مخلوق منه بدأ وإليه يعود. It came from him and it shall return to him. And that is established on the Qiyamah. From the signs of the hour and the nearness of the hour is that Allah Azza wa Jal will take his Quran to the extent that people will open the Mus'haf and not see any words. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, is one of the established signs of the hour. And so that belief of Ahlul Sunnah, holding on to it, ikhwan, and establishing it, was the basis of the mihna and the trial that occurred and that took place during the life of Imam Ahmad, that inshallah we'll begin to look into after Salah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. And so, if we understand then the mas'ala, and the issue that this great trial occurred and stemmed across three of the Khulafa and a portion of a fourth Khalifa. And that is the fitna of the Khalq al-Quran. So Al-Ma'mun, as we mentioned, the Khalifa at that time, since he was upon the Aqidah of the Jahmiyyah, and he was from those who saw that it should be established within the state, then he had individuals tried and tested. And there were seven, ikhwan, initially. Those who were called upon initially, there were some seven scholars from the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah at that time. Those who were considered at the head of Ahlul Sunnah at that time from among the ulama. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned concerning those seven, if they were patient, then the fitna would have been over. And from them, ikhwan, we had the likes of Ahmad ibn Ibrahim al-Dawraqi. We had the likes of Abu Khaythama ibn Sa'ad, Sahib al-Tabaqat. We had likewise Yahya ibn Ma'in from them. From those seven, when they were called upon, Abu Muslim al-Mustamli, likewise from them, when they were called upon, that the thabat of those individuals wavered somewhat. And because of the fact that they knew that individuals were liable to have their lives taken, then understand, ikhwan, it was a trial, not like any trial. That if you're called upon to establish an issue of aqeedah, and depending upon what you say, you will be killed, then ikhwan, it may be something that you may listen to and read, and we come across it, and it sounds like something that we would be patient with, and we would have spoke the haqq, and established the truth. But when, ikhwan, the sword is before you, and when the executioner is in clear sight, And when you ask those questions, ikhwan, then that is a trial, ikhwan, that you have to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for thabat, for. That Allah Azza wa Jal keep you firm and allow you to continue to speak the haqq regardless of what is before you. When death, ikhwan, is a possibility, then remaining firm in a trial like that, ikhwan, is not easy. And so from them, yani from the ulama, were those who, yani there were a number of positions. From them were those who used tawriya. From them were those who used, yani a method of responding that would appear to be indicating one thing, while in actuality the intent is something else. And from them, the likes of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah and others, when he was questioned concerning whether the Qur'an is created, he said, "As al-Tawrat, wal-Injil, wal-Zabur, wal-Qur'an, these four are created," referring to fingers. And so, ikhwan, some of them are those who utilized tawriya on the basis of the fact that it was permissible for them. If one is faced with death, then in a situation like that, then the scholars at that time, they were united upon the fact that this excuse of exiting, at least being killed, is established and permissible for them. From them, were those who used a response that was relatively unclear, that they would respond, but their response was not clearly that they said that the Quran was the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, or that they were the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal uncreated, or that they negated that. And from them were those who sakatu. From them were those who didn't respond. There were a number of individuals during that trial who had different positions. Not everyone was killed. From them were those who were tortured. From them were those who were killed. The likes of Ahmad ibn Nasr al-Khuza'i was killed. Others from among the A'imma, we'll discuss them, ikhwan, as we go along. But after those seven, then another four individuals, ikhwan, were taken and tried. And those four was Muhammad ibn Nuh, likewise Al-Qawariri, similarly Al-Hasan ibn Hammad, Sajjada, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal. As far as Al-Qawariri and Hassan ibn Hammad, Sajjada, then after they were taken and after they were tried, they remained firm for a period, and then they wavered, and they accepted, or they attested, that the Quran was created, fearing death. As far as the remaining two though, that is Muhammad ibn Nasr, Muhammad ibn Nuh, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, then they refused to establish and refused to say that the Quran was created. And so they were taken in shackles, and they initially were placed under house arrest, and they ultimately were taken in shackles and were tortured. Concerning that, we have then the statement of Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, who mentioned, سَمِعْتُ أَبِي يَقُولُ يعني قَالَ صَالِحْ بِنْ أَحْمَدُ سَمِعْتُ أَبِي يَقُولُ لَمَّا دَخَلْنَا عَلَىٰ إِسْحَاقِ بِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ لِلْمِحْنَةِ قَرَأَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابَ الَّذِي سَارَ إِلَىٰ طَرْطُوس يعني المأمون فكان فيما قري علينا ليس كمثله شيء وهو خالق كل شيء فقلت وهو السميع البصير قال صالح ثم امتحن القوم وَوُجِّهَ بِمَنْ امْتَنَعَ إِلَى الْحَبْسِ فَأَجَابَ قَوْمُ الْقَوْمُ جَمِيعٌ غَيْرَ أَرْبَعَةٍ. He said that indeed, as Salih, the son of Imam Ahmad, he said, I heard my father say, when Ishaq bin Ibrahim, and Ishaq bin Ibrahim was the governor of Baghdad at that time, and he was the one that was commissioned with carrying out this mihna, imprisoning individuals, following up the imma, following the ulama, testing them, and having them taken in collars and in chains if needs be. So he said, when Ishaq bin Ibrahim entered upon us in order to try us, then قرأ علينا كتاب الذي صار إلى الطرطوس. Then he read to us the book that went to Al-Ma'mun, yani something that had on it a number of verses. He said, and from what he recited to us was ليس كمثله شيء, and هو خالق كل شيء. Yani, so they did what was known, ikhwan, as بتر الدليل. بتر الدليل is that we use an evidence, but we remove a portion of it. So as far as the first verse, ليس كمثله شيء, then Imam Ahmad, he completed the verse, وهو السميع البصير, and he is the hearing and the seeing. يعني just ليس كمثله شيء وبس, there is none like unto him. So when they attempted to use the verse, their intention with using the verse was what? Was there is none like unto Allah. Therefore affirming these attributes that you people affirm is likening him to his creation. And so Imam Ahmad completed the verse, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is, as Allah has mentioned, the all-seeing, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. That is the verse itself. And so Allah Azza wa Jal affirmed his hearing and him seeing. He said, ثُمَّ امْتَحَنَ الْقَوْمُ. And so thereon after, the people were tried. And so there was a general address that was sent to the people, to the ulama, and from them were those who responded to that address, and with an attempt to gather the verses that would seem to allude to the fact that the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal is created. And so from the ulama were those who responded, when that address reached them. Thereon after, the mihna and the trial, it began. And so he said, وَوُجِّهَ بِمَنْ امْتَنَعَ إِلَى الْحَبْسِ. And so the instruction that was given for anyone who refused to accept that the Quran was created was that they should be have al-habs. That is, they should be imprisoned, or they should be put into bondage, put into chains. And so they were mahboos, either in that they were placed in chains, and or they were brought and imprisoned. And generally they were put in chains and collars. He said, فَأَجَابَ الْقَوْمُ جَمِيعًا إِلَّا أَرْبَعًا. He said, so all of the people, they responded, yani many out of fear, they responded and accepted, other than four. He mentioned Abi, and this is Salih, the son of Imam Ahmad speaking. Abi, my father, Muhammad bin Nuh, Al-Qawariri, and Hassan ibn Hamad Sajjada. He said, ثُمَّ أَجَابَ هَذَان. He said, everyone responded other than four, and the four, my father, Muhammad ibn Nuh, Qawariri, and Hassan ibn Hamad Sajjada. He said, and then هَذَان, yani the last two, they eventually responded. Yani they eventually submitted, okay, the Quran is makhluk, is created. وَبَقِيَ أَبِي بقي أبي ومحمد في الحبس أياما ثم جاء كتاب من طرسوس بحملهما مقيدين زميلين. He said, and then there was an address that was sent from Al-Ma'mun that they should be brought and they should be carried in chains. The two individuals, they should be brought and carried in chains. Should be mentioned that at this time, Ikhwan Imam Ahmad was some 54 years old. He was some 54 years of age when this mihna, when the trial, it began. Now, concerning that, Imam Ahmad, he mentioned Ikhwan, and it was said concerning him, that while he was on his way towards Al-Ma'mun, because Imam Ahmad didn't want to meet Ma'mun, he didn't want to see him. While he was on his way towards Al-Ma'mun, that a number of individuals came to Imam Ahmad and spoke and addressed Imam Ahmad. From them, there were those who, for example, Ibn Abi Usama, who said when addressing Imam Ahmad or the affair of Imam Ahmad, he said, "Hukiya lana anna Ahmad qila lahu ayyam al-mihna ya Aba Abdullah. Awala tara al-haq kayfa dhahara alayhi al-batil?" He said, "Oh Abu Abdullah, have you not seen how falsehood has become manifest over the haq, over the truth?" And so Imam Ahmad here, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, qala kala, kalla. He said, "Nay. Inna dhuhur al-batil ala al-haq an tantaqil al-qulub min al-huda ila al-dalala." He said, the falsehood becoming manifest over the truth is when the hearts, they move from guidance to misguidance. He said, وَقُلُوبُنَا بَعْدُ لَازِمَةٌ لِلْحَقِّ. He said, but our hearts continue to cling to the haq. And that was the case with Ahlul Sunnah, Ikhwan. Even though there was a trial, even though there was a fitna, even though people were being tortured, and even though some of them verbally said, Na'am, the Quran is created. Their hearts, their qulub, were firmly established upon the haq. But it was a trial. It was an affliction. And so some of them wavered, some of them remained firm. But as far as the hearts of all of them, then their hearts remained upon the haq. They knew that Allah Azza wa Jal, His kalam, His speech is uncreated. Na'am, the manner in which they dealt with the trial differed. But as far as the hearts of Ahlul Sunnah, then their hearts remained firm upon the truth. And that, Ikhwan, is and highlights the importance of our being firmly established upon the Aqeedah Salafiyya, Ikhwan. The Aqeedah Sahiha. That the affair of the Aqeedah, Ikhwan, is something that many and oftentimes we take for granted. But it is the likes of this trial, and it is the likes of these mihan, that an individual will realize the importance of having firmly established ilm and knowledge concerning the Aqeedah. And we'll see when we discuss and look at some of the debates that Imam Ahmad had with Ibn Abi Du'ad and those who were with them, and how Imam Ahmad responded with ilm, and how his response revolved around a strong knowledge of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Aqeedah of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim. Now, Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentions, حَدَّثَنَا عَبَّاسَ الدُّورِي قَالَ سَمِعْتُ أَبُو جَعْفَرْ الأنباري يقول لما حمل أحمد إلى المأمون أخبرت فعبرت الفرات فإذا هو جالس في خان في الخان فسلمت عليه فقال يا أبا جعفر تعنيت قلت يا هذا أنت اليوم رأس والناس يقتدون بك فوالله لئن أجبت إلى خلق القرآن ليجيبن خلق وإن أنت لم تجب ليمتنعن خلق من الناس كثير ومع هذا فإن الرجل إن لم يقتلك فإنك تموت لا بد من الموت فَاتَّقِ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُجِبْ. That is, Abu Ja'far al-Anbari, he heard of Imam Ahmad being taken towards al-Ma'mun for the purpose of being tried and tested over this trial. And so he went to see him. When he saw him, he gave him salam. And he said to him, يَا هَذَا, And he addressed him firmly, Imam Ahmad. He said, Ya Hadha. And the statement, Ya Hadha, is similar to our saying, listen, you, listen. And he addressed him firmly. He said, Ya Hadha, Anta al-yawm ra's. He said, you, now, today, you are ra's, you are leader. He said, Wa nas yaqtaduna bik. He said, and the people are following you. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ أَجَبْتَ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِ الْقُرْآنِ لَيَجِيبَنَّ خَلْقِ He said, if you respond, and you give in, and you accept their statement, then the people will follow you. خَلْق, and this term خَلْق here, refers to a large amount of people. A large group of people, large numbers will follow you. He said, وَإِنْ أَنْتَ لَمْ تُجِبْ لَيَمْتَنِعَنَّ خَلْقٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ كَثِيرٌ And as long as you don't respond, then a large number of the people will not respond. He said, وَمَعْ هَذَا فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ إِنْ لَمْ يَقْتُلْكَ فَإِنَّكَ تَمُوتَ He said, on top of that I say to you, that a man, this man, يعني المأمون, if he doesn't kill you, then you're going to die. And either way, you're going to die, you're going to pass away. If he kills you, then you're going to die. If he doesn't kill you, you're going to die. He said, لا بد من الموت, it is a must that you die. He said, فاتق الله ولا تجب. He said, so fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and don't respond. He said, فَجَعَلَ أَحْمَدْ يَبْكِي He said, so Imam Ahmad, he began to cry. وَيَقُولْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا أَبَا جَعْفَرْ أَعِدْ عَلَيَّ فَأَعَدْتُ عَلَيَّ وَهُوَ يَقُولْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ He said, so Imam Ahmad, when he began to cry, he said again, يَا أَبَا جَعْفَرْ Say that to me again. Repeat it to me. He said, so Abu Ja'far, he repeated his statement. And then he said, MashaAllah. And so on the basis of some of the statements of some of the people, Imam Ahmad, Ikhwan, he received something from solace and tathbeet. And he remained firm in the face of the fitna. Remained firm in the face of the trial. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, قال محمد, and Imam Dhahabi, he mentions, قال محمد بن إبراهيم البوشنجي, جعلوا يذاكرون أبا عبد الله بالرقة في التقية وما روي فيها. That the people in a place known as Ruqqa, when Imam Ahmad was being taken to the Khalifa, they began to mention, some of the people began to mention to him the affair of taqiyya, yani this affair of using speech that indicates or that would assume that you're saying, appear that you're saying one thing, when in actuality you intend something else. So the people began to say to him, he mentioned to Imam Ahmad, yani you can use this in this situation. Yani life and death, you're about to die, you can use this. And so they began to mention it, and that which was narrated concerning it. That which has been narrated and mentioned concerning it. Which is something that the scholars mention concerning, for example, the statement of Ibrahim when Nimrud was about to kill Ibrahim. Afwan was about to take or ask for the wife of Ibrahim. That he first called upon Ibrahim and asked about her. Who is she? And so he said, it is my sister. And he's well known, Nimrud, Ikhwan, Zalim, tyrant, a despot, Ikhwan, one of the world's biggest tyrants. One of the world's biggest tyrants. As Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentioned the kings of the dunya were four. Two of them righteous, and two of them evil. The two righteous ones were Dhul-Qarnayn and Sulaiman. And the two evil were Nebuchadnezzar and Nimrod. The two evil ones were Nebuchadnezzar and Nimrod, who had the dominion, ikhwan, and the rule over Babylon and its surrounding quarters. Tyrant, well known for killing and taking life. And so, ikhwan, when he was tried in front of Nimrod, he debated Nimrod. Then when he went to Egypt, as was with the case, with the statement that he made that it is my sister, he was in front of another tyrant, a tyrannical king in Egypt. And so when he was in front of that tyrannical king in Egypt, and it was said that verily an individual has come with one of the most beautiful women that we have seen, he called upon Ibrahim. First and foremost, Ibrahim said, it is my sister. It was his wife, Sarah. But he said, it is my sister. And then he went to Sarah when they were calling, when she was to be called upon. He said, I have said that you are my sister. فَلَا تُكَذِّبِينِ. I've said you're my sister, so don't make me out to be a liar. Don't make me seem like I'm lying. Ahlul ilm, ikhwan, Imam Ibn Kathir and others mentioned concerning the reason why he said that you're my sister and not his wife, because you may believe that saying that his wife probably would have been better. Yani, she's married. And so, yani, he may have left the situation. But what was known concerning that king was that if the individual was married, then he would kill the husband and take his wife. But if it was his sister, then he wouldn't have killed the brother. He would have just taken her. And so, looking at the two evil situations, one, of course, is less evil. That Sarah is taken and they're both at least alive is better than for Sarah to be taken and Ibrahim, Rasul from the messengers of Allah, is killed. And so he mentioned, when you're asked, then you say you're my sister. And though in actuality, it wasn't a lie actually. And she is his sister in Islam. And so, the statement of Ibrahim, Allah Azza wa Jal saved Sarah. Because when he went to hold on to her, he became paralyzed. And he said, supplicate that I am freed. And so she supplicated, saying, oh Allah, verily, yani, do not destroy him, because verily, yani, he will kill Ibrahim, as a case of riwayat. And so he tried to hold onto Sarah again. He was again paralyzed. A third time, paralyzed. And so he said, the king said, it is not a human being that you've brought to me. Verily, it is nothing but a devil. Take away from me. And then they sent them back, fearing any more evil coming from them. He sent them with yani, cattle and gold and haja. Yani, just don't do it again. Cattle, gold, haja, and they went back. So when they left the region of Jerusalem, they left on the basis of a famine. And Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with wealth, with cattle, and they returned back to the land wealthy. And so Allah Azza wa Jal saved them from that trial. Here Imam Ahmad, it was said, yani when the people gathered with Imam Ahmad, they said and they narrated to him that which had been mentioned, yani stories like the story of Ibrahim and what have you, concerning the permissibility of using this taqiyah. And though it is mentioned as taqiyya here, yani the intent is tawriya. Since taqiyya, ikhwan, though na'am, it does carry the meaning, linguistically carries the meaning of tawriya, but taqiyya has now become infamous with the Shia and this usage of kadhib, and they're lying in order to yani misguide and in order to deceive the people of Sunnah. And so they practice taqiyya religiously. So tawriya is what you'll find it being mentioned by Ahlul Ilm ordinarily. Tawriya, which is the usage of words that would appear to be indicating one thing when in actuality one intends something else. So they began to narrate and inform Imam Ahmad of tawriya, reminding him of taqiyya and that which has been mentioned concerning it. Yani that you can use it. You don't have to have yourself killed or be killed. فَقَالَ كَيْفَ تَسْنَعُونَ بِحَدِيثِ خَبَّابِ إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانَ يُنْشَرُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْمِنْشَارِ لَا يَسُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. He said, what would you do then with the hadith of Khabbab? That verily those who came before you, one of them would be cut in half. And that would not turn him away from his deen. One of them would be tortured and cut in half. And that would not turn him away from his deen. So yani, they're saying you've got an excuse to do such and such. And he responds by saying, well, what about the likes of those ahadith? That they remained firm even though they were being tortured. He said, فَأَيَّسْنَا مِنْهُ. So they said, so we gave up on him. Yani, he was adamant that he is going to remain firm upon the haqq, come what may. Knowing, ikhwan, his station and that the people follow him. And that he is not like anyone else. Indeed, from them were individuals who, if they were to submit, and if they said that the Quran is created, no one would really follow them upon that. But the likes of Imam Ahmad, this qudwa, this example among the people, and he knew his station, and he knew what it was he had to do. He said, the narrator, he said, so ayyasna minhu. So we gave up on him. And we gave up trying to convince him to use taqiyya, to use this, to do such and such. He said, qala lastu ubali bil habs. Ma huwa wa manzili illa wahid. He said, as far as being imprisoned, then I don't care about being imprisoned. Prison and my house is the same. Rahimahullah. He said, it is not prison that I care about. He said, wala qatlan bisayf. He said, neither that I am killed with the sword. Innama akhafu fitnat as-sawt. He said, but what I fear is the whip. He said, it is not imprisonment, neither being killed. But what I fear is the whip. He said, فَسَمِعَهُ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْهَبْسِ. So some of those who had already been imprisoned and whipped had heard the statement of Imam Ahmad. فَقَالَ لَا عَلَيْكَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا سَلْطَانِ ثُمَّ لَا تَدْرِي أَيْنَ يَقَى الْبَاقِي. He said, don't worry, Ya Aba Abdullah. It is nothing but the first two whips, the first two strikes. Thereafter, you won't feel, you won't even recognize where the rest go. After the first two, then the rest, you won't even feel them. فَكَأَنَّهُ صِرِيَ عَنْهُ. And so it was as though, and that was a burden lifted from him. خلاص, first two, what I have to deal with two. خلاص, alhamdulillah. And so, thereon after, ikhwan, a number of other individuals came across Al-Imam Ahmad. From them, an individual known as Jabir ibn Amir. Jabir ibn Amir, who was in actuality a Bedouin. But he was known to be from the people of Khair. Jabir ibn Amir, he mentioned, or it was mentioned concerning the occurrence that took place with Al-Imam Ahmad. That he came across the party in the middle of the night, the riding party that were bringing Imam Ahmad to Al-Ma'mun, to the Khalifa. And فَعَرَدَ لَنَا رَجُلٌ. And so a man came upon us. فَقَالَ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلٍ. He said, so which one of you is Ahmad ibn Hanbal? فَقَالَ فَقِيلَ لَهُ هَذَا. And so it was said to him, this one. فَقَالَ لِلْجَمَالِ عَلَى رِسْلِكَ. He said to the camels, عَلَى رِسْلِكَ. Slow down, wait. And then he said, يَا هَذَا. Listen. مَا عَلَيْكَ أَن تُقْتَلْ هَا هُنَا وَتَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ هَا هُنَا أَسْتَوْدِعُكَ اللَّهِ. Bedouin straight to the point. He said, which one of you is Ahmad? He said, this one. He said, stop, hold on. He said, listen, don't you worry. If you get killed here, and then you enter Jannah here. And if they kill you, Jannah ala tool. Don't worry. They kill you here, you enter Jannah here. Astawdi'uka Allah. And I leave you in the protection of Allah. Wabas. Wamada. And then he left. Fasa'altu anhu faqila li hadha rajulun min al-arab min rabi'a ya'mal al-sha'ar fil badiya yuqalu lahu Jabir ibn Amir wa dhukira bi khair. And so he was asked, someone asked about him, or Imam Ahmad Afwan asked about him, and it was said to him that he was an individual from the tribe of Rabi'a, from among the Bedouin Arabs, and that he made garments out of wool, and that he was known to be a Rajulun Salih, an upright, righteous man, and his name was Jabir ibn Amir. Another individual, Ikhwan, that came across Imam Ahmad as they were traveling with him to come across or to face the Khalifa al-Ma'mun, as occurs in this narration from Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawar, who said, حدثنا إبراهيم ibn Abdullah, قال أحمد ibn Hanbal, ما سمعت كلمة منذ وقعت في هذا الأمر أقوى من كلمة أعرابي كلمني بها في رحبة طوق. قال يا أحمد إن يقتلك الحق مت شهيدا وإن عشت حميدا فقوي قلبي. He said that there is nothing, when this affair came across me, there was nothing that was stronger to me than the statement of an Arabi, of a Bedouin that I heard, that who said to me when we were in chains, he said to me, Ya Ahmad, in yaqtulka al-haq mutta shahidan. If you die and you're killed on the basis of the haq, then you die as a martyr. Wa in isht, ishta hamidan. And if you live, then you live hamidan. You live being praiseworthy. You live being one who has a praiseworthy existence. He said, فَقَوْيَ قَلْبِي. And so my heart then received firm resolve. It received strength. And so again, Ikhwan, it is the likes of these statements and the likes of these pieces of advice. And it may be that it is from individuals who are not ulama, a'imma, regular people. But that statement that he makes, that utterance that comes from him, causes his heart to become firm. The statement of Ibn al-Ambari, he said to him, say it again. Repeat it to me. Repeat the statement. And that is because of the fact that he needed to hear it. Na'am Imam Ahmad. But even the a'imma, they need to be reminded, need to receive that which grants them that firm foot. Even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning him, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. And if it were not for the fact that we made you firm, you were close to inclining towards them, شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا, somewhat. So Allah Azza wa Jal kept his messenger firm. And Allah Azza wa Jal keeps the a'imma firm in these types of situations on the basis of statements that are made to them. And on the basis of that, Ikhwan, which reaches them from the statement of khair. Hanbal, he narrates, Ikhwan, concerning the individual that was with Imam Ahmad. The individual that was with Imam Ahmad was an individual known as Muhammad bin Nuh. There is not a lot that is said concerning Muhammad bin Nuh, but what is established is, number one, that he was a shab. That is, he was a youth. He was young. Imam Ahmad was in his mid-50s. But Muhammad bin Nuh, he was a youth. He was young in age. Number two, that he had little ilm, and he was not known to be from among the a'imma. But on the basis of that which occurred, ikhwan, with him and Imam Ahmad, he has this noble mention alongside Imam Ahmad. But actually, with the statement of Imam Ahmad himself, attesting to the fact that he had little ilm, and he was not from the ulama. And so constantly we hear Muhammad ibn Nuh, and don't realize that actually he was young in age. He was a shab, possibly like many of yani yourselves. Shab, young. And number two, that he didn't have a great deal and a great amount of ilm. But as far as Muhammad ibn Nuh is concerned, then Hanbal, he narrates, Qala Abu Abdullah, ما رأيت أحدا على حداثة سنه وقدر علمه أقوم بأمر الله من محمد بن نوح. He said that verily I have not seen any individual that established and was firm with the Amr of Allah and with the affair of Allah than Muhammad bin Nuh. Even though he was young in age and had little ilm, that he was firm upon the Amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firm upon the affair. So even when the people wavered, Muhammad bin Nuh remained firm with Imam Ahmad. But Muhammad bin Nuh, he died while they were journeying. And so Imam Ahmad, he mentioned concerning him, وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَن يَكُونَ قَدْ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِخَيْرٍ. And I hope that his end was a good one. Imam Ahmad himself buried him and prayed over him. Imam Ahmad himself. وَقَالَ لِي ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. And this is another form of tashjee and encouragement that Imam Ahmad received. قَالَ لِي ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ. He said to me that day, يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Oh, أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah. Allah. Yani in this statement, Allah, Allah, it is what is known in the logha as Igra. Al-Igra. Allah, Allah. And that is a statement that is made and repeated with the intent, be mindful of, pay attention to, be obedient to. Yani Allah, Allah. So this youth, he turned to the Imam saying to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, Allah, Allah. He said, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ مِثْلِي أَنْتَ رَجُلٌ يُقْتَدَى بِكَ قَدْ مُدَّ الْخَلْقَ أَعْنَاقَهُمْ إِلَيْكَ أو مَدَّ الْخَلْقَ أَعْنَاقَهُمْ إِلَيْكَ لِمَا يَكُونَ مِنْكَ فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَاثْبُتْ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. He said that verily you are not like me. Indeed, the people follow you. You are a man that is followed. And the people are stretching their necks out to hear what will come from you. He said, so fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Fear Allah. Wathbut, and be firm upon the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be firm upon the affair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while they were traveling, ayyuhal ikhwa, and Imam Ahmad, he did not wish in any way, shape or form, to see or meet al-Ma'mun. It was not that he was, ya'ani, on the basis of the tashjee and the encouragement that came from the people, that he was now saying, well, yeah, let me meet him and I'll just debate him and deal with it. La, he still didn't want to meet him. And what is established is that Imam Ahmad, ikhwan, he made dua. Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Bushanji, he said, سمعت أحمد بن حنبل يقول تبينت الإجابة في دعوتين. He said, دعوت الله أن لا يجمع بيني وبين المأمون. That Imam Ahmad, he made dua that Allah Azza wa Jal does not gather between him and Al-Ma'mun. He made dua while he was traveling on the way to meet the Khalifa, that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not gather between him and the Khalifa. And as we have then in a narration of Salih bin Ahmad, who said, قَالَ أَبِي فَلَمَّا سِرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَذَنَا. When we reached a place known as Adana, it is a well-known region. وَرَحِلْنَا مِنْهَا فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ فُتِحَ لَنَا بَابُهَا إِذَا رَجُلٌ قَدْ دَخَلْ فَقَالَ بُشْرَى قَدْ مَاتَ الرَّجُلِ يعني المعموم وقال أبي كنت أدعو الله ألا أراه. He said, so when they traveled and they reached an area known as Al-Adhana or Adana, he said, while we're in the middle of the night, an individual came to us saying, yani when we entered Adana, an individual came to us saying, Bushra, glad tidings, glad tidings. قَدْ مَاتَ الرَّجُلُ, the man has died. Al-Ma'moon, he has died. Bushra, glad tidings. And he said that verily, Imam Ahmad said, that by Allah, I was supplicating to Allah that I would never meet him. And so he mentions, تَبَيَّنْتُ الْإِجَابَ فِي دَعْوَتَيْن. He said, Imam Ahmad, he said that the response to two supplications came clear to me. We mentioned one of them here. He said, دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ لَا يَجْمَعَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْمَعْمُونَ. Verily, I called upon Allah and supplicated to Allah that Allah Azza wa Jal would not gather between me and Al-Ma'moon. And indeed Allah Azza wa Jal responded to the statement and to the dua of Al-Imam Ahmad. And so there and after, Imam Ahmad, instead of being taken to see and to meet the Khalifa, then Imam Ahmad was restrained, and he was placed in a general prison. He was restrained and placed in a general prison. He became sick during the month of Ramadan, and then he remained in prison for somewhere in the region of 30 months. He was imprisoned for somewhere in the region of 30 months. And then, of course, Ikhwan, after Al-Imam Ahmad, we had another Khalifa. After Imam Ma'moon, Afwan, we had another Khalifa that took over from Imam Ma'moon. And that was Al-Mu'tasim. Al-Mu'tasim Billah. But he took over from Ma'moon. And the fitna, Ikhwan, did not end with the affair of Al-Ma'moon. Al-Mu'tasim, he continued with the trial. He continued with the affair. And so, Al-Imam Ahmad narrates that which occurred as it relates to the affair of Al-Mu'tasim and the trial continuing at the hands of Al-Mu'tasim. As far as that which occurred, Ikhwan, at the hands of Al-Imam Mu'tasim or at the Khalifa Al-Mu'tasim, then Imam Ahmad, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, he remained in prison for a period of some 30 months. And then he was called upon by Al-Mu'tasim. And Al-Mu'tasim would send every day. There was a period, Ikhwan, Al-Mu'tasim sent two individuals to debate with Imam Ahmad. Those two individuals, they would enter upon Imam Ahmad. And they were two individuals. The first of them, Ahmad ibn Ahmad ibn Rabbah. And the other, Abu Shu'ayb al-Hammam. Or al-Hajjam. Those two individuals, they would enter upon Imam Ahmad and they would debate with him. And Imam Ahmad would destroy them daily in debate. He said, حَتَّى إِذَا قَامَ دُعِيَ بِقَيْد فَزِيدَ فِي قُيُودِي. And so every day he would debate with them, and he would overpower them. They would increase his قيود. They would increase his colors. He would increase his chains. And so he would debate them. On the first day, he overpowered them. They increased his colors. The second day, he overpowered them, and they increased his colors and his chains. And so instead of having two sets of shackles. Instead of having two sets of shackles, they increased four sets. Following day, when he debated them and overpowered them, six sets of shackles upon him. Until it became difficult for Imam Ahmad to carry his shackles. And then he mentioned on an occasion that if he was not being supported, if he was let go, that he would fall upon his face. And the shackles would drag him to the floor. And so Imam Ahmad, ikhwan, he went through this difficulty in terms of even just the shackles that they placed upon him. He said, فَدَخَلَ عَلَيَّ فَنَاظَرَنِي فَقُلْتُ لَهُ مَا تَقُولُ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ. And so he begins to mention something concerning his munadhara, the debate. He said, so I said to one of them, what do you say about the ilm of Allah? What do you say about the knowledge of Allah? فَقَالَ مَخْلُوقٌ. He said, so he responded, it is created. The knowledge of Allah is created. And فَقُلْتْ كَفَرْتَ بِاللَّهِ. I said, you've disbelieved in Allah. كَفْ مَخْلُوق. The knowledge of Allah is created. So I said to him, كَفَرْتَ بِاللَّهِ. فَقَالَ الرَّسُولَ الَّذِي كَانَ يَحْضُرْ مِنْ قِبَلِ إِسْحَاقِ بِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهَا هَذَا رَسُولُ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. فقلت إن هذا قد كفر. فلما كان في الليل الرابعة وجه يعني المعتصم ببغى كبير إلى إسحاق فأمره بحمله إلي وأدخلت على الإسحاق فقلت يا أحمد فقال يا أحمد إنها والله نفسك إنه لا يقتلك بسيف إنه قد آل إن لم تجب أن يضربك ضربا بعد ضرب وأن يقتلك في موضع لا يرى فيه شمس ولا قمر. He said that after he debated on a number of occasions, the messenger of the Amir al-Mu'mineen entered upon Imam Ahmad. And so he said, it was said to him, this is the messenger of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so Imam Ahmad, he said, this individual has disbelieved in Allah. قَدْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ. He said, so he called upon him to come to Ishaq. Ishaq, the governor of Baghdad at that time. He said, Ya Ahmad, he said to him, Ya Ahmad, إِنَّهَا وَاللَّهِ نَفْسُكَ. He said, verily, it is your life, O Imam Ahmad. He said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَقْتُلْكَ بِسَيْفِ. He said, he's not going to kill you with the sword. You're not going to be killed with the sword. He said, rather the affair has it developed. يعني إنه قد آل إن لم تجب أن يضربك ضربا بعد ضرب. If you don't respond to him, then he is going to beat you and continue to beat you. يعني ضربا بعد ضرب. And he's going to kill you by beating you, after beating you, after beating. He said, وَأَنْ يَقْتُلْكَ فِي مَوْضِعٍ لَا يَرَى فِيهِ لَا تَرَى فِيهِ شَمْسِ وَلَا الْقَمَرِ. He said, and you'll be killed in a place that you won't see the sun or the moon. يعني in some dark dungeon. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. And so he begins to debate with him. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal say, indeed we have ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan. We have made it an Arabic Qur'an. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal say that? That verily, inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyya. And so Imam Ahmad, he responded by saying, أَفَيَكُونُ مَجْعُولًا إِلَّا مَخْلُوقًا. So he said and responded to him, is everything that is ja'ala, because the word that Allah Azza wa Jal uses is ja'ala. And the term ja'ala, yani that we sayyara, that we made something, we made it from its meanings, we made something, yani it is something that we have, yani it became something. That is one of the usages of ja'ala, not necessarily khalaqa, that it is created. And so Imam Ahmad said, أَفَيَكُونُ مَجْعُولًا إِلَّا مَخْلُوقًا. Is there nothing that is جُعِلَ مَجْعُول, nothing that is made except created? And then he mentioned, فَقُلْتُ فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and so he جَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. جَعَلَ مَنْ لا أصحاب الفيل, the army of Abraha, army of Abraha, that he made the army of Abraha when he destroyed them with the birds, يعني pelting them with stones. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ, like crops that have been eaten and consumed, crops of corn that have been consumed, and he completely destroyed, like a desecrated crop, a field of crops. So he mentions here, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Na'am. And so he said, so Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ, that he ja'alahum, he made them like crops that had been consumed. And so he mentioned, and he said to them, said to him, were they created in that manner? Were they created in that manner? Yani arad against them, just as he mentioned, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. So they used that to say, Allah made the Quran. Yeah, but Allah Azza wa Jal likewise mentioned, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَسْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And that wasn't creation. They became like crops that were consumed and destroyed. And so he's making rad of his shubuhat by utilizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَسَكَتْ. So when he responded with that verse, سَكَتْ, he went quiet. فَلَمَّا سِرْنَا إِلَى مَوْضِعٍ مَعْرُوفٍ بِبَابِ الْبُسْتَانِ أُخْرِجْتُ وَجِيءَ بِدَابَةٍ وَأُرْكِبْتُ وَعَلَيَّ الْقُيُودِ مَا مَعِي مَنْ يُمْسِكْنِي فَكِدْتُ غَيْرَ مَرَّةٍ أَنْ أُخِرَّ عَلَى وَجْهِي لِثِقَلِ الْقُيُودِ فَجِيءَ بِي إِلَى دَارِ الْمُعْتَصِمِ وَأُدْخِلْتُ هِجْرَةً ثُمَّ أُدْخِلْتُ بَيْتًا وأقفل الباب علي في جوف الليل ولا سراج وأردت الوضوء فمددت يدي فإذا أنا بإناء فيه ماء وطست موضوع فتوضأت وصليت. He said, there and after I was taken through a garden into a well-known to a place, and then an animal was brought for me, and I was placed upon the animal, and I was still in my chains and shackles. And there was not with me anyone that was supporting me. And so on a number of occasions, I was close to falling upon my face because of the shackles. He said, and so I was brought to a place, to a dar, and it was the dar or the house of Al-Mu'tasim, who was the Khalifa. And so I entered an area, and then I entered a baytan, which is a part of the house. The door was shut upon me. Yeah, and when I entered this room or this section within the house, the door was shut upon me in the middle of the night, and there was no siraj. There was no lantern. He mentioned, and so I intended to make wudu. And so I stretched out my hands and I found a vessel that was placed down having water in it. So I made wudu and I prayed. The following day, ukhrijtu. He said, the following day I was taken out and I was made to sit down. وَشَدَّدْتُ بِهَا الْأَقْيَادِ أَحْمَلُهَا. And it was difficult for me to carry the shackles that were upon me. And so I tied and used the string from his sarawil in order to hold his sarawil up and hold his shackles. He used the string from his sarawil and tied them around his shackles and supported his sirwal by way of holding them and tying them to his shackles. And so he was able then to hold his sarawil up and to carry his shackles. He said, فَجَاءَ رَسُولُ الْمُعْتَسِمِ. And so the messenger of Al-Mu'tasim, he came and he said, أَجِبْ فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي وَأَدْخَلَنِي عَلَيْهِ. He said, respond. And so he took me by the hand and he entered me upon him. And I was made to sit. He said, my qiyud or my shackles were placed in my hands. إِذَا هُوَ جَالِسِ. And when I looked before me, he was sitting. وَأَحْمَدْ بْنَ أَبِي دُعَاد حَاضِر. Ahmad ibn Abi Duad, who was this devil from the people of innovation, Ikhwan, who was from those who were prodding and prompting the Khalifa against the A'imma of Ahlul Sunnah. And he, Ikhwan, was the main instigator as it relates to the Khalifa, the Khulafa, yani instigating them to carry out the mihna and to try individuals. And he was from those who commissioned the killing of the likes of Ahmad ibn Nasr al-Khuza'i and others. He says, so Ahmad ibn Abi Du'ad was present. He said, وَقَدْ جَمَعَ خَلْقًا كَثِيرًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ. And he had gathered a large number of his companions. فَقَالَ لِلْمُعْتَسِمْ أُدْنُ أُدْنُ. And so Al-Mu'tasim said to me, come close, come close. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يُدْنِينِي حَتَّى قَرَبْتُ مِنْهُ. And so he did not cease telling me to come close until I was near to him. ثُمَّ قَالْ اِجْلِسْ. Then he said to me, sit. So I sat. فَقَالْ أَثْقَلَتْنِي الْأَقْيَادِ فَمَكَثْتُكَ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ قُلْتْ أَتَأْذَنْ لِي فِي الْكَلَامِ. So I remained silent for a while. Yeah, and I remained. And so I said, do you permit me to speak? And so he said, takallam, speak. فَقُلْتُ إِلَى مَا دَعَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He said, what was it that Allah and His Messenger called to? فَسَكَتَ هُنَيَّ. So he was quiet for a period, for a short while. ثُمَّ قَالْ إِلَى شَحَادَةَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And they called to شَحَادَةَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. فَقُلْتُ فَأَنَا أَشْهَدَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, and I bear witness to لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. ثُمَّ قُلْتُ إِنَّ جَدَّكَ إِبْنَ عَبَّاسِ. Verily your grandfather, Ibn Abbas, because those khulafa, يعني they were, in terms of their lineage, their lineage went back to Ibn Abbas, to Abbas. He said, your grandfather Ibn Abbas, يقول لما قدم وفد عبد قيس على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سألوه عن الإيمان فقال أتدرون ما الإيمان؟ قال الله ورسوله أعلم. قال شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وأن طعت الخمس من المغنم. He said, do you know what your grandfather Ibn Abbas said? He said that verily when the delegation of Abd Qais came upon the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, they asked him about Iman. And so the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, do you know what Iman is? And so they said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And so he said, it is to bear witness to la ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, to establish the salah, to give the zakah, and that you give a khums, or a fifth of the spoils of war. He said, قال أبي يرحمك الله. قال أبي يعني فقال يعني المؤتصم لولا أني وجدتك في يدي من كان قبلي ما أردت لك. So he said, look, if it wasn't for the fact that I found you in the hands of the one who came before me, referring to Al-Ma'mun, then I wouldn't have dealt with you. Yani, but you were in prison. Kadhib, you were in prison already. You were already in the hands of the Khalifa, the one that came before me, the one that I took over from. So if it wasn't for that fact, I wouldn't have dealt with you. I wouldn't have continued to have you in prison in this manner. But the fact that you were already in prison by the Khalifa that came before me, then, yani, I wouldn't have done what I'm doing to you now. Which of course, ikhwan is kadhib. It is easy for the Khalifa to release him. And it's straightforward. But he said, if it were not for the fact that the individual who came before me had imprisoned you, and then I wouldn't have done this to you. ثم قال يا أبا عبد الرحمن أو يا عبد الرحمن ابن إسحاق ألم أمرك برفع المهنة. He said, Abd al-Rahman ibn Ishaq, didn't I tell you to stop this mihna, to stop this trial? فَقُلْتَ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرُ إِنَّ فِي هَذَا لَفَرَجًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. So I said, when he made that statement, I said, Allahu Akbar, indeed in this is a great faraj. In this is a relief for the Muslims. Yani, naturally he took him upon his word initially. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُمْ نَاظِرُوهُ. Then he turned to them and said, debate with him. Debate him. وَكَلِّمُوهُ يَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ كَلِّمُهُ. He said, Abd al-Rahman, speak to him. Debate him. فَقَالَ مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. So they said to me, what do you say about the Qur'an? فَقُلْتُ مَا تَقُولُ أَنْتَ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ. So I said to him, what do you say about the knowledge of Allah? فَسَكَتْ. So he remained silent. فقال لي بعضهم, and some of them said, أليس قال الله تعالى الله خالق كل شيء. So they said to me, one of them said to me, didn't Allah say Allah created everything? And what's the intent behind that, ikhwan? Huh? Including the Quran. Allah خالق, didn't Allah say Allah created everything? والقرآن أليس شيئا. And is it the Quran something? فقلت قال الله تدمر كل شيء. So I responded to him by saying, but Allah likewise said, تدمر كل شيء. A reference to? Huh? Huh? تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها. فأصبحوا لا يرى إلا مساكنهم. And so, he said, but didn't Allah likewise say that it destroyed everything, referring to the wind that Allah sent to the people of Ad, that it destroyed everything? But the end of the verse mentioned, فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. So in the morning you could not see anything except their houses. But the beginning of the verse it said, it destroyed everything. And so just as you're saying, اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, then here Allah mentions, it destroyed kul shay. It destroyed everything. Which indicates then, that sometimes everything, isn't everything. That in the lugha al-Arabiya, it's possible and permissible to use the term, but not necessarily to intend every single thing. And so he mentioned, didn't Allah then say, you tudammir kulla shay'in, that it destroyed everything? فَدَمَّرَتْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَادَ اللَّهِ. So it destroyed everything except what Allah intended. فَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ. That one of them said then, يعني another evidence, that indeed a message, it does not come to them, مِنْ ذِكْرٍ, a reminder does not come to them, مُحْدَث, يعني from their Lord, مُحْدَث, new. This term muhdath, something that comes about new, fresh. Something that is new. Generally, ordinarily, linguistically, it is used to carry that meaning. He said, أَفِيكُمْ مُحْدَثٌ إِلَّا مَخْلُوقٌ. He said, and as far as you're concerned, there is nothing that is muhdath other than that it is created. Nothing that comes about other than it, that it is created. قال الله صاد والقرآن للذكر. He said, فالذكر هو هو القرآن. فالذكر هو القرآن. وتلك ليس فيها ألف واللام. وذكر بعضهم. نعم, that indeed he mentioned that here the term ذكر in the first verse, ما يأتيهم من ذكر. ما يأتيهم من ذكر. That it doesn't have the alif and lam upon it. A reminder doesn't come to them. While Allah Azza wa Jal, when He referred to the Quran as a dhikr, He mentioned and referred to it as al-dhikr. Saad wa al-Quran dhikr. Even though it is al-Quran dhikr, yani al-dhikr is a reference to the Quran. Al-dhikr with alif and lam. In the verse that you quoted, it mentions, ma yatihim min dhikrin. That a reminder doesn't come to them. Yani a reference here to when Allah Azza wa Jal decides to reveal a new verse, a new surah. Yani something new from the verses of the Quran. And so he said that this then indicates that that is, other than that, laysa fiha alif wal lam. And so they responded to him by saying, and using the evidence of the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. They said, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he narrated, مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ جَنَّةٍ وَلَا نَارٍ وَلَا سَمَاءٍ وَلَا أَرْضٍ أَعْظَمَ مِنْ آيَةِ الْكُرْسِي. He said that Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned Allah did not create from Jannah, or from the Nar, or from the Sama, the heavens, or the earth, greater than Ayatul Kursi. You following, Ikhwan? You following what the, yani the usage of the evidence? Allah did not create from Jannah, or Nar, or heaven, or earth, greater than Ayatul Kursi. Meaning, or what is it that they're implying? Ayatul Kursi is created. That these things are not created, but the greatest of them is Ayatul Kursi. Jameel? And so he mentioned, قُلْتُ إِنَّمَا وَقَعَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَمْ يَقَعَ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ. That the statement Allah created fell upon Jannah, Nar, heavens and earth, and it was not applicable and does not apply and refer to the Quran. Yani, which is possible. Huh? I, for example, may say that, مثلاً, there is not one of you from East London, West London, North London, or South London stronger than a Birminghamite. Someone not smiling at them. From East London, North London, West London, South London stronger than a Birminghamite. Mathalan. Or there is no Londoner from East, West, North and South stronger than a Birminghamite. Am I saying that Birminghamites are from London? La. That the term London is a reference to those from East, West, North and South. That my last statement, the Birminghamite, someone in a different pedigree. Come on, Ikhwan, it's a joke. Don't get upset. So the statement of Imam Ahmad then, ما خلق الله من جنة, or the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, the hadith, ما خلق الله من جنة ولا نار ولا سماء ولا أرض أعظم من آية الكرسي. The fact that he said Allah didn't create Jannah, Nar, Sama, Ard, greater than Ayat al-Kursi, the creation falls upon the first four, not the Quran. He mentioned, نعم, لم يقع على القرآن. فقال بعضهم حديث خباب, يا هنتا تقرب إلى الله بما استطعت فإنك لم تتقرب إليه بشيء أحب إليه من كلامه. He said, what about the hadith of Khabbab? يا هنتا, draw closer to Allah Azza wa Jal with that which you are able. For indeed you are not able to draw closer to Allah with anything that is more beloved to him than his speech. This is what they used again, another proof. How is that an evidence, Ikhwan? Or how are they using it to substantiate their position? Huh? Again, تقرب إلى الله بما استطعت. Draw close to Allah with what you are able. فَإِنَّكَ, because indeed, you may not draw close to Allah by way of anything that is more beloved to him than his speech. How is that a proof, Ikhwan, supporting their argument? Huh? Say again? No, close to Allah. You will not draw closer to Allah by anything more beloved to him than his speech. You're on the right track. Keep it where it is. Keep it where you got it there. And just develop that fikra. Again, say it again. You forgot what you said now. Huh? Huh? That the origin and the asl.
Would it be that which is created only draws closer to Allah in that sense?
Yeah, and you're in the right direction, Ikhwan.
Are you saying that because it's his speech, it means it's belonging to him, that it's separate from him?
No. I see where you're coming from. No. It's closer to what these brothers have been saying here.
They're saying because it's coming from you, then it must be created.
The a'mal and the actions of the servants are created. The af'al al-ibadah makhluqa. The actions of the servants are created. So here they used, ya taqarrab ila Allah bima istata'at. فَإِنَّكَ لَن تَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيْهِ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ كَلَامِ. You will not draw closer to Allah with anything more beloved to him than his speech. And Imam Ahmad responded, هَكَذَا هُو. That is how it is. Yeah, and you will not draw closer to Allah by way of anything other than his speech. Okay, where's the hujjah in that? Where's the evidence in that? He said, that is how it is. قال صالح, جاء ابن أبي دعاد ينظر إلى أبي كالمغضب. So Ibn Abi Du'ad, he began to look at my father angrily. And everything we bring is bring some answer to these questions, issues, masail. So he began to look at him angrily. قال أبي وكان يتكلم هذا فأرد علي ويتكلم هذا فأرد علي. He said, فإذا انقطع الرجل منهم اعترض ابن أبي دعاد فيقول يا أمير المؤمنين هو والله ضال مضل مبتدع. He said, so this one will speak to me, I'll respond to him. That one speak to me, I make rud of him. And so every time they would respond, I refute them. He said, so Ibn Abi Du'ad, when that would occur, he intercepted. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, huwa wallahi, dhalun, mudhillun, mubtadi'. He said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, by Allah, he is misguided, misguiding others in a mubtadi'. And he run out of things to say, run out of argument. So the only thing you can do is hurl abuse against him. Wallahi, dhal, mudhill, mubtadi'. He said, فَيَقُولْ كَلِّمُوا نَاظِرُوا. So the Amir was saying, speak to him, debate with him. فَيُكَلِّمُنِي هَذَا فَأَرُدْ عَلَيْهِ وَيُكَلِّمُنِي هَذَا فَأَرُدْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِذَا انْقَتَأُوا يَقُولَ الْمُعْتَسِمُ وَيْهَكْ يَا أَحْمَدْ مَا تَقُولْ. He said, so the next one would speak to me, I would refute him. Another one would speak to me, I would refute him. He said, So then Al-Mu'tasim, he said, woe to you, Ahmad, what is it that you're saying? What are you saying? He said, فأقول يا أمير المؤمنين أعطوني شيئا من كتاب الله أو سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى أقول به. He said, oh, message, he said, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, bring me something from the book of Allah or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I may hold that position and I may say it and hold it. فيقول أحمد بن أبي دؤاد أنت لا تقول إلا ما في الكتاب والسنة. He said, you don't speak other than what's in the kitab and the sunnah. فقلت له تأولت تأويلا فأنت أعلم ما تأولت ما يحبس عليه ولا يقيد عليه. He mentioned, you people, you have made a ta'wil and you've made an interpretation that you have more knowledge concerning. But indeed, you are not able to inform me of why I have been imprisoned and why I have had these quyood and these shackles and chains placed upon me. And so, Ikhwan, that is something from the debate of Al-Imam Ahmad with Al-Mu'tasim, and likewise with, and wallahi, Ikhwan, that the narrations are numerous, and there are over 100 pages, Ikhwan, that Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi, he dedicates to the whole affair in Siyar Alam al-Nubala. And so, Ikhwan, what we'll do then is we will round up with one last narration, Ikhwan, from Al-Imam Ahmad concerning this debate. And it is the statement of Muhammad bin Ibrahim al-Bushanji, who mentioned, حدثني بعض أصحابنا أن أحمد ابن أبي دعاد أقبل على أحمد يكلمه فلم يلتفت إليه حتى قال المعتصم يا أحمد ألا تكلم أبا عبد الله؟ فقلت لست أعرفه من أهل العلم فأكلمه. He said, and this is the reality, Ikhwan, concerning our ulama. He said that Imam Ahmad, he narrated to me that Ahmad ibn Abi Duad, he approached him on an occasion. This is during these debates. He approached him on an occasion and Imam Ahmad turned away from him and wouldn't speak to him. And so the Amir, the Khalifa, al-Mu'tasim, he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, ala tukallimu? Ala tukallimu? He said, will you not speak to him, O Aba Abdullah? He said, لست أعرفه من أهل العلم حتى أكلمه. He said, I don't know of him as being from the people of knowledge, so as to speak to him, so as to address him. And that is that Ibn Abi Du'ad, when he was not known for to be from among the people of knowledge. From the people of innovation, there were those who were well, it was well known that they had something from knowledge with them, and that they had something from students of knowledge, and then they deviated. The likes of Amr ibn Ubayd, mathalan, that he was, and he had with him a fair portion of the knowledge of hadith, and had tulab, until he was warned against. But here, Ikhwan, Ibn Abi Du'ad was an individual that was not known, Ikhwan. He was fickle in terms of his knowledge and in terms of his ilm. And so the a'imma, Ikhwan, our ulama, you'll find them being such with the people and with the individuals who are ignorant. If they're ignoramus is Ikhwan, then oftentimes they will not give them the time of day. And because giving them the time of day, Ikhwan, only raises their status. Only places them upon the, puts them upon the map as someone, as an individual who we should be concerned with, since our scholars are concerned with them or with him. And so you'll find, Ikhwan, with many of our scholars that they'll turn away from individuals who are كما يقال ليس لهم محل من الإعراب. لا محل لهم من الإعراب. Individuals, Ikhwan, who are unknowns. Since turning to them, giving them attention, places them, puts them upon the map, Ikhwan. And that is something for every talib ilm to reflect upon and pay attention to. That the origin and the asl concerning the jahil is that he's not turned towards, he's not responded to. Of course, if his fitna becomes widespread, if his kalam, it is utilized and it now has entered into many regions, and many of the people are utilizing it, then it no doubt is responded to, and its carrier is refuted. Because, ikhwan, there is not a bid'ah and an innovation that spreads by itself. Those innovations and those bid'ah, they are spread by carriers. And oftentimes, ikhwan, ordinarily, usually, it is not sufficient, ikhwan, to merely respond to the shubha. Similarly, ikhwan, its carrier has to be responded to. And initially, we know that many of those carriers, ikhwan, are people who are loved. And people who the people incline towards oftentimes have beautiful character and yani charismatic, and the people love them. And thus, when they are responded to and refuted, it causes the anger of many. Those who were connected to personalities and those who have an affiliation to that individual because of his charisma, then they become angry. You know, and it is said that these people, they speak against the du'at and the callers and the people of knowledge and what have you. Not looking towards the fact, ikhwan, that they should actually be angry at what he has attributed to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. What he has attributed to the sunnah. And what he has claimed the deen of Allah, the book and the sunnah was revealed with. While it is nothing but batil and falsehood. And that is either that they attribute or attempt to attribute a hadith from the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or they attempt to attribute an understanding. And that, brothers and sisters, is where Ahlus Sunnah are vanguards, ikhwan, of the faith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he referred to those who are trustworthy as it relates to ilm, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُ, that indeed this knowledge is carried in every generation by its trustworthy ones. What are their characteristics? يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَأْوِيلَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْطِلِينَ وَتَحْرِيفَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. They refute and they repel from the religion the false interpretation of the distortion, the tahrif, the distortion of the ignorant one. And the false interpretation of those who fabricate, upon the falsehoods of those who fabricate, and the ta'wil al-jahileen, and the false interpretation of the ignorant. Here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say that the carriers of ilm, they have such and such character, or they have such and such mannerism, or that they carry themselves in such and such a way. Rather, he explained them by three characteristics, each of them returning back to defending the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and repelling falsehood. And thus, ayyuhal ikhwa, we find and we see when we study the biographies of our imma ikhwan, that was their lives. Their lives revolved around repelling falsehood. And our deen, no doubt, ikhwan, as Allah Azza wa Jalla had mentioned, كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Thus, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, thus do we make the ayat clear. And so that the sabil al-mujrimeen, and so that the path of the criminals is likewise made clear. And so both of those affairs are from our deen. Learning the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and understanding the path and the sirat, and likewise being clear about the path of the mujrimeen, the path of those who oppose the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. وللحديث بقية والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خير. لا شك يقال يعني يقال أن هذا القول ينسب, هذا الذي ينسب إلى الشافعي حقيقة يعني كان لابد من ذكره, هو مثل أنا مثلت به, لكن صحيح كلامك صحيح ونسيت أن أذكره. The example that I mentioned, إخوان, which is what our brother Shams al-Din he mentioned, إخوان, I forgot to mention that it is a very valid point. It is oftentimes mentioned concerning the time of Imam, or the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i. I of course only use it as an example of a tawriya and how it manifests. But in actuality, ikhwan, as popular as it is, what I forgot to mention was the fact that attributing it to Imam al-Shafi'i is something that is dubious. And from Ahl al-Ilm are those who say that It is due based on the fact that Imam the fitna actually manifested and became manifest after Imam Shafi'i. And so you'll oftentimes hear it, and we used it as a method, as an example for Tawriya, but in actuality, it, in terms of the fitna itself, is something, Ikhwan, that one should be cautious and careful about attributing it to the actual fitna. Because Imam Shafi'i, because the fitna, it began after Imam Shafi'i. Jazakumullah khair. In fact, I forgot to mention on that point. Jazakumullah khair, Ikhwan. Allahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Jazakumullah khair.